What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is the terrific Israeli singer Noah Achinoam Nini. We'll also have visits from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our maven on Israel, Guy Gelbert. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. Well, this is a very big week for me personally. My middle son, I have two boys and a girl, Gabriel, is having his bar mitzvah this coming Shabbat. And I have to tell you, he was just 2 years old when we started this show. So from a Too Jewish perspective, a big and exciting milestone. Mazel tov, Gabe, on your bar mitzvah this coming Saturday. Passover is also coming up fast. Maybe it's a more important holiday for you guys than my son's bar mitzvah, beginning as it does April 6th. Just 13 more shopping days to get your matzah now. Oh, boy. The ultimate festival of freedom and food, Passover is an annual reminder not only of the necessity to invite all your relatives and friends over for a festive Seder meal, but also to recall just how good we really have it here as Jews in the land of the free. No matter how long this great recession goes on, it cannot compare to being slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, or being terrorized in pogroms in Russia, or starving in Ethiopia, or getting kicked out of Spain, or let alone being slaughtered by the Nazis. In fact, we have a great deal to be grateful for as we approach the Passover season this year. To tell you the truth, we Jews are not especially good at feeling secure and happy with what we have. That is in large part because of our long history of persecution, but it is also a kind of ingrained Jewish tendency in which we look at things critically and controversially, which makes us very good at analyzing things, wonderful at critiquing, but really bad at praising or being grateful. It makes Jews great lawyers, superb scientists, excellent financial analysts, first-rate film critics, and really bad cheerleaders. Perhaps collectively, we need a psychiatrist to help us figure it all out. Now that's a Jewish profession, if ever there was one. This was Jackie Mason, back in the day when he was actually funny, talking about his visit to the psychiatrist.
I didn't know who I was. I went to the psychiatrist. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I did. He took a look at me right away. He said, "This is not you." I said, "This is not me. Then who is it?" He said, "I don't know either." I said, "Then what do I need you for?" He said, "To find out who you are." He said, "Together, we're going to look for the real you." I said, "If I don't know who I am, how do I know who to look for? And even if I find me, how do I know if it's me? Besides, if I want to look for me, what do I need him? I can look myself. Or I can take my friends. We know where I was. Besides, I said to myself, what if I find the real me and I find that he's even worse than me? What do I need him? I don't make enough of myself. I need a partner. 10 years ago, I'd be glad to look for anybody. Now I'm doing good. Why should I look for him? He needs help. Let him look for me." He said, "The search for the real you will have to continue. That'll be $100, please." I said to myself, "This is not the real me. Why should I give him the $100? I'll look for the real me. Let him give him the $100. What if I find the real me? He don't think it's worth the $100. Then I'm stuck my money with the real him." I said to myself, "For all I know, the real me might be going to a different psychiatrist altogether. Might even be a psychiatrist himself." I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if you're the real me and you owe me $100? I'll tell you what, I'll charge you $50 for quality."
Ah, yes, even a critical look at introspection itself, that from comedian Jackie Mason, who was a rabbi before he became a comedian. Fancy that. In any case, it might just be time for us to change our perspective a little as Jews to see how terrific life here actually can be, and to feel grateful for the freedom we enjoy not only here in America, but also in Israel, our homeland of the heart, where a nation of 7 million Jews and 1 million Arabs is actually thriving, no matter what it insists on saying about itself. Perhaps there's another way to see things. And so, to play us in this morning, here's our guest today, Noah, singing with Mira Awad their wonderful song in Hebrew, Arabic, and English from the Eurovision contest, There Must Be Another Way.
There must be another, must be another way.
Was our guest this morning, the marvelous Israeli singer Noah Ahinoam Nini, who is touring with the Palestinian singer Mira Awad. They'll be at Centennial Hall here in Tucson tonight. Find out how that remarkable partnership came about when we come back in a few moments on Too Jewish.
Hi, Joe Spina, Mama's Pizza. People sometimes ask me if I ever go to other restaurants and try their pizza. The answer is definitely yes. In fact, the other day I went to another restaurant to sample their pizza. So how did it compare to Mama's? Well, first of all, the crust tasted sweet. By that, I mean they added extra sugar to the dough. At Mama's, we don't add extra sugar to any of our food. The blend of fresh, natural ingredients we use makes our food taste, well, fresh and natural. Now, there's one more thing I noticed about the other pizza. Based on the portion size and price, I paid about 1.5 times more for it than one of ours. In this economy, that's a pretty big deal. So I guess one reason I try other restaurants is that it makes me realize Mama's Pizza is one of the best. And that's a very sweet feeling. Mama's Pizza with 4 convenient locations. Check them out at mamasfamous.com. Now repeat after me. Mama's Pizza!
Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. We are delighted and slightly thrilled to welcome to Too Jewish this morning the wonderful Israeli and, I guess, American and world artist, Noah Ahinoam Nini. She's Israel's leading international concert recording artist, Born in Tel Aviv, she lived in New York from the time she was two until she came back to Israel at the age of 17. Her family is of Yemenite Jewish origin. She served in the military, Israeli Army, the IDF, in an entertainment unit, studied music in Israel, met Gil Dorthan, and the rest is kind of musical history. She has a unique and quite wonderful sound. If you haven't heard Noah, you haven't been listening to Too Jewish very much. We like to play her stuff fairly often. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you. I'm happy to be talking to you.
So, do you think about yourself as Israeli? Do you think about yourself as American? Do you think about yourself, obviously, as a Jew? Is that distinction important?
Well, I'm just a human being, first of all. I'm a mother of three children. I would say that has become a major part of my identity since my son was born 11 years ago. I'm a musician. I try to do my best in service of the God of music. And I'm an Israeli and a Jew, yes. And all of those things are important to me. I try to do my best as a singer, songwriter, performing, representing Israel. I'm a little bit of an ambassador despite myself. Israeli ambassador representing like-minded people, striving for peace, striving for democracy, equal opportunities, for a normal life in our part of the world. And that's my raison d'etre.
Not a bad raison d'etre. You have been performing with Mira Awad, you told us last week, for more than 10 years. Now, Mira would be, identifies herself as a Palestinian. Her father's Palestinian, her mother's Bulgarian. It's a very interesting background she has. How did you guys connect, and how is that received in Israel, your collaboration?
Well, meaning Gildor and myself, we ran into Mira in a talk show that she was doing promoting a musical where she was performing. She was doing the lead role, Eliza Doolittle, in My Fair Lady in the Bima, which is probably the most important repertoire theater in Tel Aviv. She was doing the lead role very, very successfully. She was promoting that. We were very impressed with her. She's super intelligent and funny and beautiful woman. And Gil actually saw the interview and he told me she's perfect for us. We contacted her. We had a great chemistry from the first moment and we started performing together. Mira is Palestinian-Israeli, meaning she was born and raised in Israel. She's part of the 1 million or even more people, almost 2 million people, Palestinians, who are Israeli citizens and live within the Green Line. And we've been performing together throughout the world. There have been a lot of people who have seen our collaboration as something inspiring and beautiful that resonated with them. Still throughout the world, especially, by the way, in Arab countries, we've received endless tweets and Facebook posts and letters and whatnot from young Arab people around the world who've thought that what we are doing represents them and their dreams for the future. And there have also been people who have not looked upon our collaboration too favorably for various reasons. You know, there are a lot of closed-minded people out there. There's a lot of prejudice. There are a lot of preconceptions or misconceptions. A lot of dogma. It's a shame, but that hasn't stopped us. And I must say that the people opposed to our collaboration have been a minority, as opposed to all the support we've received.
I'm glad to hear that. We will talk much more with the wonderful singer and performer Ahinoam Nini Noah when we come back on Too Jewish in a few moments.
If your parents or loved ones are in need of advanced assisted living care, then you should know about Handmakers Tynan Neighborhood. It's the only program of its type in Tucson and is designed for seniors whose needs have exceeded the care available from other assisted living programs. Dorothy Ho is a resident at Handmaker and she's very pleased with her living arrangements.
My apartment is very comfortable. It's kind of like home now. And everybody here is very pleasant too.
Dorothy's daughter Gretchen's experience speaks volumes about Handmaker's approach to family and loved ones.
When she first came to Handmaker, I can honestly say that I felt as loved and cared for as my mother has stated recently that she feels she is loved and cared for here.
Handmaker is centrally located on Rosemont, just south of Grant, and includes one and two bedroom suites, cozy studios with patios and balconies, along with a wonderfully caring staff.
I don't even consider them staff, they're friends.
Phone Handmaker today for your tour and consultation, 322-7035, or visit handmaker.org.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace. But sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, Kvetch Orkfell, please email us at 2JewishRadio at yahoo.com or visit our website at 2JewishRadio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website or downloading us from there or at the Apple iTunes Store as popular Jewish podcasts. Temple Emmanuel, Pilgrimage Trip to Israel with Rabbi Sam Kohan, that's me, is coming May 30th to June 10th of 2012. If you're interested in going with me on this great journey to Israel, email 2JewishRadio at yahoo.com, T-O-O Jewish Radio, or call 520-327-4501 for more information. Here's another cut from today's guest, Noah and Mira Awad, singing together their lovely haunting song, Faith in Light.
של חושך אני רק רוצה להסתתר האור שבתוכי דואך ושוב הפחד מתעורר יש ימים שהכאב לא מותיר לי מה חסר לאט את נשמתי קורן ואת האופק Where can we go? כל שידה, כל שי מקסום אוהב לחזות מן הזי את דניה בתעת מחלי פי איים כל שי חזיר ומפי מדרח לרסיל מסכים על בידי בתעבר ושבועת דיין
That was Noah Achinoam Nini and Mira Awad singing their lovely tune, Faith in the Light. You can hear them tonight at Centennial Hall. We welcome our maven on Israel, Guy Gilbert, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov, Guy. Good morning.
Boker Tov, Rabbi.
I want to talk a little bit about the so-called, or maybe not so-called, settlements in the West Bank, the distinctions that both Americans, Israelis, and Palestinians make about different kinds of settlements, what it means to be a settler, what does it mean to live in a part of Israel that's been part of the country for 45 years and yet isn't really officially Israel. Let's talk a little bit about how an Israeli really looks at it.
I think we should start by explaining to the audience that what they refer to as the West Bank or territories is really a very vague definition. When I meet Palestinians, for example, and ask them what they refer to as settlements, for them, Tel Aviv and Haifa are referred to as settlements. when I speak to Americans, they refer to anything that is across the green line as settlement, including huge Jewish neighborhoods in the center of Jerusalem,
right,
including, for that sake, also the Western Wall, the Kotel,
right,
which is across the green line. And the green line is simply the line of ceasefire post 48 war or 49.
So where the armies ended up in 1948. It wasn't any carefully drawn border.
Exactly. When Israelis talk about mitnachlim or settlers, we usually refer to those people that are going to specific locations within Judah and Samaria and are trying to create those new small settlements that are mainly driven by political agenda of saying this land is our land and we want to make sure that it will not be given away to anybody else. It's need to honestly be said that Judea is not called Judea by accident. It is the historical land of Judea.
Of the Jews.
Most of King David's kingdom was actually focused on that area. On the other hand, as many of my friends from the left wing would tell me, you know, but there are still there approximately nearly a million Arabs, million Palestinians that live there. And of course, the numbers vary. They're very soft. Some would say it's only 800,000. If you'll ask the Palestinian Authority, they will claim that it's 2.5 million. Of course, they have a reason to count people twice and three times in order to make the number look bigger. But a reasonable number would be somewhere between a million and a million and a half. So that creates a big question. When we are talking, when Israelis look at settlements, we don't refer, for instance, to Ma'ale Edomim or to Ariel as settlements. It's very clear that they are part of Israel. Those are big cities. They have a lot of people in them. There is no real option that one can imagine that in any future treaty, those areas will be evacuated. It looks unreasonable that the Israel government will be able to go from one apartment to the other and force 50,000 people out of their home.
Right. I mean, it creates its own tremendous refugee problem. But so in a practical sense, we're really talking about different things when we talk about settlements. Let's continue this next week and explore sort of the conceptual difference for Israelis as well as Palestinians, and maybe that'll help Americans understand really what we mean on this issue. Thanks very much, Guy.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week. We visit weekly with the great restaurateur Janos Wilder of Janos Restaurant at the J Bar. Good morning, Janos.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Now, this is a really obvious question to ask, but what's cooking at Janos?
Greatness, wonderful food, wonderful flavors, great experiences, beautiful atmosphere, terrific views. That's about it.
You know, I have to say, it is really one of the most magnificent restaurant experiences you can have, not just in the Southwest, but in the world.
Well, thanks, Rabbi. You know, we have three restaurants now, but Janos is the flagship. That's where we put everything into it. All the elegance, all of the love, all of the caring. That's the peak of what we do.
So for a very special night, or just because you want to have a spectacular meal, how can they get in touch with you?
Just give us a call, 615-6100. Go to our website, www.janos.com. We'll be happy to see you.
That's janos.com. Thanks, Janos.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
We have talked about dignity and tolerance over the last few weeks. We're getting close to Pesach, the great holiday of freedom, which certainly affirms human dignity in that individual way. You know, there was an interesting movie. It's not often that a silent movie in black and white gets nominated for an Oscar, in the last 70 or 80 years. Let's talk about it a little bit.
Right. So you're referring to The Artist, which I want to come back to quickly. But I also want to say that one of the great lines in the Haggadah is, as long as one person anywhere is enslaved, none of us is free. And people don't focus enough on what that means. But one of the things I think it means is that unless the basic respect and dignity to which every human being is automatically entitled, regardless of his or her physical, mental capacities, age, appearance, religion, beliefs, whatever, unless everybody is treated with dignity and respect, then all of us are somehow in jeopardy. And that's a big principle of the Passover season. And I think we don't often think about, except as it affects our own group or our own selves or our own sort of sore points, verbal and physical behavior that might hurt others. Like, I've encountered countless people in my life who will say things like, I Jewed him down, or I got Jewed, without any conscious amount of anti-Semitism, without realizing that that kind of verbal behavior could be hurtful,
right,
or offensive. They just don't think about what they say. And kids always say stuff like, oh, that's so gay, meaning it's bad, without thinking that somebody in the room might really be hurt by that. So I think one of the challenges that we all face, and it's good to remind ourselves of this at Pesach time, is that we have to be careful about how we behave and how we speak to preserve the dignity of other people, to act and speak in ways that are tolerant, respectful, inclusive, et cetera, et cetera. You know that I'm in the process of forming a non-governmental organization to promote basically tolerance education, to use the social media that young people often use to spread hatred and prejudice to combat the very things, sort of turn the social media on their heads and do YouTube-style videos and other social media-based curriculum units that teachers around the world can use to do this. Now, what's the relationship to The Artist? So this very excellent movie deals with a guy who's a huge star in the silent film era. But as the studios make the transition from silent films to talkies, which was around 1930, the beginning of the Great Depression, when lots of people went to movies to escape the reality on the outside, right? This guy can't make the transition.
Unlike today, of course.
Right. This guy doesn't have the right voice, or the right whatever. For whatever reason, it's not totally clear in the movie, he cannot make this transition, and he gets left behind. And the studio system was often cruel and heartless. And normally the stereotype used is the Jews, the money-grubbing Jews, the evil capitalist Jews from Europe created this system. They exploited actors, actresses, all the stagehands. They exploited the American public, whatever. And the whole history of Hollywood is often used as an anti-Semitic slur. This movie was remarkable for avoiding any slight hint that any part of this was the fault of Jews. And for its restraint and its tolerance, it gets my nod for an Oscar and a standing ovation.
Thanks, Tom. We will talk next week.
I look forward to it.
It's time for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Sadie is divorcing her husband, Moshe. After 2 months of waiting, the case is finally being heard in court. The judge asks Sadie, "So, how old are you, ma'am?" "I'm 40 years old, Your Honor." The judge replies, "Answer my question honestly, please. How old are you?" "I'm 40 years old, Your Honor," answers Sadie again. "Well," says the judge, "you're not telling the truth. It's written down. You were born in August 1940. That means you're well over 70. "But, Your Honor," replies Sadie, "I'm not counting the last 30 years with my husband." "Why not?" asked the judge. "That you call living?" says Sadie. That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. This week's Torah portion is second in the book of Leviticus, Tzav, the section that establishes rules for the various sacrifices offered in the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Mishkan. These same sacrifices were later also offered in the temple in Jerusalem for about 1,000 years. There are many different types of sacrifices commanded in Tzav: burnt offerings, guilt offerings, sin offerings, and the like. But one group of sacrificial offerings stands out: the offerings of peace, the Zevach Shlamim. And among this higher category of offerings, one in particular stands out highest, the Zevach HaTodah, the thanksgiving offering. The rabbis thought so highly of thanksgiving to God that they are quoted in the Talmud saying that when the Messiah comes, all sacrifices will have completed their mission. All will be discontinued with one exception, the thanksgiving offering. That sacrifice will last forever, even after the Messiah comes. Why? Well, because even in a perfect world, we must remember to give thanks, to be grateful for what we have. This Shabbat is also Shabbat HaGadol, the great Sabbath that precedes Passover. The name is taken from its famous Haftarah, which proclaims the coming of the great and awesome day of God, in which the prophet Elijah will come and turn the hearts of children to their parents and the hearts of parents to their children. In a year in which lots of us are experiencing challenges in a variety of areas of our lives, we do well to remember the many things we still have to feel grateful for. On the Shabbat of Tzav HaGadol, may we come to value these eternal blessings, family, friends, and the freedom to practice our faith in this season of the year. May you be blessed with the Shabbat HaGadol of Shalom, peace. When we come back on To Jewish, our guest, the delightful Israeli-American singer Noah, will explain how she's come to collaborate with so many outstanding artists, from Stevie Wonder to Al Di Meola to, oh, well, you name it, when we return on To Jewish.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
Attention, Arizona taxpayers. You can help send children to our community's Jewish schools without it costing you a dime. Direct your tax dollars to JETCO, the Jewish Education Tax Credit Organization. State of Arizona allows taxpayers to receive dollar-for-dollar tax credit, not deduction, for payments made to recognized school tuition organizations. This allows them to provide scholarship for kids in K-12 at qualified private schools. JETCO provides a quality Jewish education to children in need at Temple Emmanuel Kindergarten, Congregation Anshe Israel's Kindergarten, the Tucson Jewish Community Center Kindergarten, and the Tucson Hebrew Academy, THA. If you pay Arizona state taxes and make your donation today before December 31st, you'll receive 100% tax credit on your Arizona state income tax. Your contributions last year helped more than 100 children receive the financial aid they needed to get a Jewish education. Join over 750 supporters who gave up to $1,000 per couple, $500 per individual as a tax credit, and got it all back in the form of reduced or refunded state income taxes. To direct your tax dollars to Jewish education today, please call 647-8442. You can do it on your credit card, 647-8442, or visit JETCO on the web at www.jetco.org. Help give the gift of Jewish education.
We continue with our To Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
There was a terrible incident in France last week at a Jewish day school in Toulouse. A gunman on a motorbike, suspected in a variety of shootings of French military and police officers in recent weeks, brutally murdered a young rabbi, Jonathan Sandler, his two very young sons, ages 3 and 6, and the 7-year-old daughter of the school principal at the Otzar HaTorah school in Toulouse. The murderer, identified and captured later in the week by French police, two of whom were wounded catching him, is a Frenchman of Algerian descent named Mohamed Merah, who is connected to Al-Qaeda. Fascinating that his name actually means evil in Hebrew. The murders are believed to be a terror attack of some kind. Our deepest sympathy goes out to the victims and their families. Rabbi Sandler, who had joint Israeli-French citizenship, is survived by a wife and daughter. One can only imagine the pain they are experiencing and the terrible trauma of this obscene, murderous act. All the funerals took place in Israel last week. May their memory be a blessing. We will continue to follow this painful story. Ivan the Terrible of Sobibor, John Demjanjuk, died last week. This brought to a close the seemingly never-ending quest for justice in this case of a man long accused of being a Nazi war criminal. Oh, heck, he was. Though Demjanjuk, 91 years old, was convicted by a German court of being an accessory to the murder of 27,900 Jews in the Sobibor concentration camp, he was living freely in a German nursing home pending appeal. His son said Demjanjuk's death before the legal process was exhausted meant that he had died an innocent man, but the Simon Wiesenthal Center says he should be remembered for being guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Demjanjuk, who was born and raised in the Ukraine, moved to suburban Cleveland after immigrating to the United States following World War II. In 1952, while living in the U.S., he changed his first name to John from Ivan. He died stateless in the process of trying to regain that U.S. citizenship. Demjanjuk died guilty of his service in the Sobibor death camp. That is how he should be remembered, not as a person falsely accused, but as an individual who volunteered to serve in the SS and at the height of his physical powers spent months helping to mass murder innocent Jews deported to that death camp, said Ephraim Zoroff, the Jerusalem-based Nazi hunter for the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Justice was unfortunately delayed in this case and hindered by complicating factors, but it was ultimately achieved to the credit of the prosecutors in the U.S. and Germany. Following Demjanjuk's conviction by a German court in May of 2010, Zuroff reopened Operation Last Chance, a last-ditch effort to track down the surviving Nazi war criminals. Many have called Demjanjuk's German trial the last big Nazi trial. He was convicted May 12th of 2011 and later sentenced by a Munich court to 5 years in prison, but was released to a nursing home pending appeal. Munich state prosecutors appealed the court's decision to free Demjanjuk and sought a longer sentence, saying 5 years was too lenient. The twists and turns in the Demjanjuk case were pretty torturous. Well, they were torturous indeed. Demjanjuk in the 70s was identified as Ivan the Terrible, a notoriously sadistic guard at the Treblinka death camp and also at Sobibor. Holocaust survivors identified his photo during a photo spread as part of the investigation of another Treblinka concentration camp guard, Fyodor Fedorenko. In 1977, the U.S. Justice Department requested that Demjanjuk's citizenship be revoked because he had lied about his Nazi service when he applied to enter the U.S. In 1986, U.S. authorities finally deported Demjanjuk to Israel to stand trial on charges of being Treblinka and Sobibor's Ivan. A special Israeli court sentenced Demjanjuk to death, but the Israeli Supreme Court in 1993, in a 400-page decision, overturned the verdict, saying there was some reasonable doubt that Demjanjuk actually was Ivan the Terrible. Demjanjuk returned to the Cleveland area in 1993, where he was greeted by protests outside his home by Holocaust survivors and activists, some wearing striped prison garb, led by activist Rabbi Avi Weiss of Riverdale. Demjanjuk's citizenship was restored by U.S. District Court Judge Paul Mattia in 1998. A year later, the Justice Department again filed a request to strip Demjanjuk of his citizenship, citing his service in Sobibor. Okay, so maybe they didn't have enough Treblinka evidence. Maybe it was Sobibor. This time, Mattia ruled in 2002 that Demjanjuk's citizenship should be stripped. His attorneys appealed the case all the way up to the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, but it was upheld. He was deported from the U.S. finally in 2009 and flown to Germany, which had requested extradition. And now, finally, he has died. We can leave justice to the supreme judge of all, who requires neither extradition nor citizenship hearings. In sad news for Jewish media everywhere, the finest Jewish newspaper in America has gone bankrupt and may yet close. A federal bankruptcy judge has ordered a trustee to run Alter Communications, the publishing firm of the Baltimore Jewish Times, which was unable to reorganize under Chapter 11. The 93-year-old newspaper, which says it has never missed an issue, could close this week. In an editorial last week, the Baltimore Jewish Times wrote that it would go on. The Baltimore Jewish Times will be in subscribers' mailboxes and on newsstands throughout the community, just as it has been every Friday for the past 93 years, despite a judge's decision to appoint a trustee to handle the sale and distribution of the assets of its parent company. The Alter Communications Company declared bankruptcy in April 2010 after the newspaper's longtime printer filed a $1.2 million lawsuit trying to get its money back. Since 1996, Alter Communications has sold off Jewish newspapers in Detroit, Atlanta, Palm Beach, and Boca Raton, as well as Vancouver, British Columbia. The Baltimore Jewish Times still has a circulation of more than 50,000 and sister publications called Style and Chesapeake Life. Although it is extremely difficult and sad for my family to give up the Jewish Times, we know that it, as well as the company, its employees, will be in good hands with any of the prospective buyers, said publisher Andrew Berger, whose family has owned the newspaper since its establishment nearly a century ago. And in other news, lest you think that Israel is bereft of petroleum, another oil and gas field has been discovered off the coast of Tel Aviv. The Gabriela and Yitzhak fields were found in shallow water about 15 miles northwest of Tel Aviv. Last week's announcement came after the conclusion of a 3D seismic survey. It estimated that the two fields combined have about 232.2 million barrels of oil and 1.8 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. Drilling is expected to begin at the end of the year. Well, maybe Israel will now be invited to be a part of OPEC. Okay, maybe not. And that's the news of Jews around the world. We welcome back to Two Jewish, our guest this morning, the marvelous Israeli-American international world singer Noah Achinoam Nini. She's going to be here in Tucson performing tonight, actually, with the marvelous Palestinian Israeli Arab, I don't know how to call it, Mira Awad. So a funny question for you. You are of Yemenite Jewish ancestry. You look very distinctly Yemenite. Mira's kind of fairer of skin and coloring. And I would bet that some people think that you're Arab and she's Jewish.
Absolutely right. That's part of the beauty of what we are doing. I do look Arabic and she looks Jewish, and it confuses people. But that just emphasizes how ridiculous this whole thing is. I mean, people under skin are really exactly the same. You wouldn't even know if you weren't told. And why is that even important? Why are those titles important? Why can't people just be perceived as people? Singers is singers, women is women, men is men, dreamers is dreamers. That's what we want to be. That's what we are.
It's wonderful. Your collaboration, when you guys sing together, it's wonderful to see, because some collaborations are, let's be honest, unequal. Someone seems more talented, somebody seems stronger. You guys really do complement each other beautifully, at least in the pieces that I've seen and heard.
Thank you. I think we have something very unique, a fusion of our voices, and, you know, not that I'm making any kind of comparison, but a little bit in the way that Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel had this beautiful harmony between them.
I'm only laughing because I was going to ask you about that, because that's my favorite people, and they're both Jewish, of course, so that helps. But there is almost
amazing.
a little female Simon and Garfunkel thing going on.
Yes, I think so. I mean, thanks for the compliment. It's good. I was raised on Simon and Garfunkel's own name, but they're probably my absolute favorite music in the world. Paul Simon's writing and those amazing voices of theirs. And there are some moments when Mira and I sing together where you can't even tell who's singing. I mean, we fuse so perfectly with each other. And yeah, it's great. It's a pleasure for me.
You know, many singers collaborate with other people. You have collaborated with a lot of interesting people, from Pat Metheny to Stevie Wonder. How do you end up in those collaborations?
Well, Pat Metheny was just like God's gift to me, really, just meeting this man and working with him. It's probably the most important thing that happened to me in my career. He was the one responsible for bringing me and Gildor and our music to Geffen Records and getting us our first getting us our first international record deal, which really opened doors for us throughout the world. He was introduced to me by Gil Dore. Gil just sent him some music and asked him to meet me. He liked the music, and that's how that happened. And we stayed friends since then. I actually met him just the other day here in New York, and we spent 3 hours together just talking about life and music, and he's an amazing person. Stevie Wonder, that was an opportunity connected to, I don't know if you remember, but there was a huge television event for Israel's 60th anniversary at the Shrine from the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles. It was televised nationally.
Yeah, the big Israel 60 celebration.
Yeah, the big Israel gala, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Stevie Wonder was invited, and he was asked to that to perform there, and he was asked if he would be willing to sing with a young Israeli performer, an unknown that he had never heard. And, you know, this is amazing. And he said yes, and then I remember coming to the rehearsal, and I was shivering, and I was so excited, and I had learned a whole bunch of Stevie Wonder songs just in case there was anything he wanted to sing that I could do. And then he turned around and said, well, I don't want to sing one of my songs. I want to sing one of your songs. I couldn't believe it. And that was just indicative of how great this man is and how modest and how lovely. And he just played harmonica with me and sang one of my own songs. And I was so impressed with him. He's such an amazing talent. I'm just really lucky to have had all those opportunities.
Well, you've had quite a lot of musical opportunities and some historic opportunities, some happier than others. I think you were on stage just before Rabin was assassinated in Tel Aviv, if I'm not wrong. That must have been, kind of a shocking and powerful experience as well.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most formative events of my life. I was asked to perform in a peace rally, a large peace rally, the biggest that Tel Aviv had ever seen. I was actually called by the mayor of Tel Aviv, Chich Shlomo Lahat.
Yeah, Chich Lahat.
He called me personally and he asked me, and I immediately said yes, and he was so excited because I was the first and eventually the only major Israeli performer who agreed to perform in that peace rally, which I was actually shocked when he told me that later on, that none of my colleagues, my more famous or less famous colleagues, agreed. Some of them came later on. They would not agree to have their names associated with it or on the billboards or anything like that, which is a problem in Israel, but that's another story. Anyway, there I was together with Gil, and we were singing, and we were happy, and it was amazing, and so many people came out to support Rabin, this peace initiative, and the Oslo agreements and everything. And then everyone knows how that turned out. And that day, I decided that this man could pay with his life, and I could definitely give of my time, of my energy, even of my fame and of my success, my commercial success, to fight for peace, speak out for peace, to raise that voice. And I've been doing so ever since.
One of my favorite albums of yours is Now, which features, I think that's the album that has that wonderful recording of the theme from Life is Beautiful.
It's actually on an album called Blue Touches Blue.
I'm sorry, that's right.
Okay.
I apologize. I don't want people to buy the wrong, you know.
No problem. I don't demand you to know anything of that.
How did that evolve?
That was another little miracle. It's a nice story. The man who wrote the soundtrack for the film is a man called Nicola Piovani. It appears that when he was going through a very difficult time, he was struggling with an illness, and he was hospitalized for quite a long period of time. The one album that he had on his player in his ears all the time that he claims really helped him to recover and saved his life was one of my albums. And from that moment, he loved me and was waiting for an opportunity to do something together. And then the film came out, and then it was a huge success. It won the Oscar, the soundtrack won the Grammy. And they wanted to release a DVD, and they were thinking that the soundtrack needed a song. So Nicola came up and said, well, what about this amazing Israeli singer? Why don't we approach her? And, yeah, so we got a call in our office one day, which I thought was a joke with my manager told me. I said, you must be joking. You're definitely kidding. Asking me to write the lyrics and work for the song, which, of course, I did. And we sent the demo to both Giovanni and to the great Mr. Benigni. They both loved it. I got a wonderful cell phone call. I was in France at the time recording an album, and Mr. Piovani, I pick up the phone, and it's, "Hello, this is Roberto Benigni. I am looking for Noah." In that intonation, exactly. It was so great. And, yeah, he loved it, and he was all, you know, he was complimenting him. So yeah, I had two new friends, and I had this song which has taken me everywhere and has been translated to six different languages. It's been maybe one of the most important things in my career.
Really fantastic. You and Gil have collaborated. This Mira Awad is not the only Arab artist that you've collaborated with. Tell us a little bit about some of the other collaborations and how those took place.
Well, I have a wonderful friendship and ongoing collaboration with a man called Nabil Salameh, which is part of a band called Raza Dervish.
He's from Lebanon.
They live in Bari, Italy. He's originally from Salameh, and his family was actually forced to flee to Lebanon, and then he moved to Italy. He's an incredible man, intelligent, he's also an engineer and a musician and a songwriter and a journalist, and a real intellectual and a lovely person. We've done a lot of stuff together. And I've worked with other artists in the past, like Khaled, which is a very, very famous Algerian singer, and Amal Mutu, and I worked with Rimbana. Just
to
name a few.
Do you know which direction your career is going next? Do you plan it, or does it just kind of a series of happy miracles?
Yes, and it's also intuitive. I follow my heart, you know, I really do. I go where my heart tells me. And for example, this year, I dedicated, this past 2011 and also 2012, dedicating to a more symphonic sound. I'd made two albums. One is called The Israeli Songbook, which is a collection of classic Israeli songs that we arranged and recorded together with the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra. They debuted in the Israel Festival in June of last year, and we've been performing it with symphony orchestras around Israel and around the world ever since. It's great critical acclaim. It's been a fantastic experience. We also have a variation of that with string quartet in Israel and in Europe. And I also released an album of Neapolitan songs called Neapolis. Just in the same vein, it's for these are classic songs that I didn't write, but I'm paying homage to. And I have a show that integrates these songs, also some of my original material, with two string quartets, one in Europe and one in Madrid, that I'm touring with now quite extensively. And at the same time, writing new material. And I write, and then I see where things lead me. I normally don't. And I definitely don't look at what's in and what's trendy and what's being played on radio. I just couldn't care less, really. I'm trying to feel something, to give something, to touch upon something. Maybe to light a little corner in the human soul. That's what interests me.
Feels like a different approach than Madonna takes typically to choosing her material.
Slightly.
Just last question. When you and Gil are writing, do you write together? How does it work?
Normally, I come up with the initial ideas. It's either lyrics or music, or just lyrics or just music, and I'm sort of like the spontaneous combustion element of our creative process. Gil is very meticulous, and he's very, very, he's an incredible arranger and of course, guitarist and composer. And sometimes we work on the compositions together. Sometimes he just arranges them and produces them. We really complement each other in almost every way, and I'm really fortunate to have encountered this amazing man.
Is there anybody that you'd like to work with you haven't had the chance to work with yet?
Yeah, I have my wish list. I would love to sing with Leonard Cohen, which is one of my heroes. In general, my heroes are Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell, Paul Simon. And if any of those people would give me the opportunity to stand on stage with them, I would become a puddle of joy.
I would certainly recommend that they do. Whether they're listening to me or not, I can't promise. But
well, thank you for that.
I want to thank Noah for a fabulous visit here on Too Jewish. You can see her at Centennial Hall with Mira Awad in a marvelous concert tonight. And find her albums everywhere and listen to them. And, you know, completely uncritically, go buy them.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, everyone's welcome to check out noahsmusic.com, which is our site. I have a blog where I sort of blah, blah, and Facebook, and a lot of stuff written about the albums. Whoever's curious can find a lot of stuff there.
Noah, thank you so much.
Thank you for this interview, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Me too. When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out on Too Jewish.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. Our guest will be the fine Jewish historical mystery author David Liss, the writer of the Benjamin Weaver Mysteries, among others. And of course, listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or our TooJewishRadio.com website and like us on Facebook. Our playout this morning comes from our guest, Noah, appearing tonight here in Tucson at 6:30 p.m. at Centennial Hall with Palestinian singer Mira Awad. It's a very cool Middle Eastern version of the great Beatles song, We Can Work It Out. Certainly hope they're right about Israel and the Palestinians too, and not just great musical collaborations. My friends, have a great day and a Shavua Tov, a week we pray of peace.
Try to see in my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why do you see in your way? Run the risk of knowing that I'm